Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
A lot of them aren't even pretending to be in charge.
Slow the testing down.
Remove him from office.
No justice, no peace.
Cast a vote that will make you proud.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Will you shut up, man?
Listen.
Hello, and welcome to the Betches Sup Podcast. I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Millie Tamaris.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And the Betches Sup Podcast is your daily rundown of all the craziest shit going down in the news, brought to you by your three funniest friends.
Which is us.
Yes.
Good morning.
I am so excited to be recording with you, Millie. Like, I've been waiting. I know I don't want to like break up the amazing Tuesday vibes, but I'm jealous.
Vibes are vibes. Listen, if there's anything millennials are known for, it's vibes. And vibes can happen with anybody, and new vibes are there, and it's in a new year and new energy and manifesting and all of that.
Yeah. So, I also got just a cute message from Brian, because Brian always hosts with me, so I don't think he wanted. He was just like, I would also, not mind hosting with Millie. I could do that.
Even though we're on watch because Brian, I'm still not 100% convinced that Brian's spouse is from Spain.
You have to get him on here. Also, Brian takes Spanish classes now every day at 2 p.m.
Oh my God.
Like, if you try to schedule something at 2, maybe it's not every day. I don't know if he has that excuse.
Oh my God.
Like, or every now and then.
Ay, Dios míos.
Exactly. Ask for the birth certificate and then the long form, the rom-com.
Listen, I'll watch it. Hallmark needs to make, we already said we need gay rom-com ones, and if there's a scam in there, even better.
Totally. What's a rom-com without a scam?
Listen. I think a scam defines a rom-com. There's almost always a scam. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, The Wedding Planner.
Oh, you got Mail, supposed to be like Mail, a really romantic rom-com, and it's fucking gaslighting.
Yeah.
It's like, he's lying to her the whole thing, and everyone's like, Tom Hanks is so cute, and I'm like, he's a liar.
One of my favorite movies, but I think we have to like acknowledge that it's a movie about brutal capitalism and the loss of small businesses in America.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's brutal capital. I feel like people who like it, it's like, you know, you like McDonald's because you go to the play place and the memories that are attached.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's like because it does make the Upper East Side look cool and like all that stuff.
It does.
Like, you know, it looks like
the coolest neighborhood in Manhattan.
Wait, it actually takes place on the Upper West Side.
That's true.
I lived, before I lived in this apartment, like right near where all of it was filmed, like the Starbucks that they go to, like that was my Starbucks. So I sort of have like I feel a kindred spirit with Kathleen Kelly. Like, I would love to just own a bookshop on the Upper West Side.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't? Yeah.
I feel like that film was also very prescient to the villainy that would become Fox. F-O-X.
You can spell Fox.
You guys, today is officially Donald Trump's last Friday in office. Can't believe it. We're going into our final Trump-led weekend.
I can't believe we made it. Also, because Fridays have historically been the most shit show day of the week in his administration. Do you remember like the early, like the first 2 years when just all the craziest things would happen on Fridays? I can't believe we have made it. Like, although I don't know, did we? We'll see.
I know. I'm not okay. Yeah. Very funny.
Yeah, I mean, Friday at like 5 a.m. he just started tweeting crazy shit. But I honestly feel like it's because he doesn't have Twitter.
Totally.
Like, yeah.
Like, it would have been, the havoc would have been all the way to the inauguration had they not taken away Twitter.
Right. And it still has been havoc, but it's at a simmer rather than him constantly coming into inflame them.
It's havoc that is allowed to run its own course because he's not there to like derail it into something new.
Mm-hmm. Right. And every time Trump tweets, for the past, as long as I've had this job, it's like every time he tweets, even if it's nonsense, people are still like, what is this? Should I be scared? So every time he tweets, for years, I have this like overwhelming physical reaction because I'm not only like, oh God, the president's tweeting. I'm like, I have to now handle this and explain to people. I don't have to, but I feel a responsibility to. Mm-hmm. So it's always like every time he tweets and there's then a cascade of 10 different tasks I have to undertake and I feel physically sick just from the content of it.
You know what's important to process, which maybe I know it's not scheduled on the podcast, but maybe it's something we can do, is what was your least favorite or most memorable Trump tweet that destabilized you the most? For me, it was the...
I can't believe you just have one.
I have one too.
Everyone has that. Yeah. I'm like, for me, there was a point where I thought we were going to be bombed by North Korea and or Iran from the shit that he was tweeting.
Mine is Iran too. Mm-hmm. Amanda will remember, like, the first day of 22, like, the one of the first week of 2021, he almost got us into a war with Iran with the Soleimani stuff. And
2021? This year?
2020, sorry. I was like, sorry.
Did I miss a war?
No. I was convinced we were going to war, like, over the weekend. I spent the entire weekend panicking, and, like, it became therapy fodder for months after.
But you bulk bought stuff, and then 2 months later, there was a pandemic, so.
Yes, I did bulk.
It was a war, but the war was in the house.
Yeah.
I think mine was calling Maryland or Baltimore, like, a rat-infested dump. That broke me. That took things to a level.
Are you from Maryland?
No.
You just love crab cakes.
It was just so sad. And then Elijah Cummings died like 2 months later.
Yeah.
It was all so awful to see that from the president. It was just disgusting. And then after that, I mean, it got even worse. But that was the one to me that brought things to a different level. We should let everybody on the podcast have this moment of healing.
We should also have like a sticker question on stories so everyone can submit theirs. Another one, I thought was content.
That's what Betches is about. Content machine, baby.
360 content.
Well, I was also thinking of letting everybody do, like, I tried doing this thing at the beginning, like, no lame ducks given, like all the stuff that Trump does that we just don't have to give a fuck about anymore. And the reason it didn't become more of a thing is because everybody said the tweets. Everybody.
Right.
That was everybody.
Right.
Said the tweets.
Remember when he tweeted little Adam shit?
Got him. It's not even good. That's like not even that
right creative. Because some of them are good.
Some of them are really, listen, funniest Trump tweet, and I have one, and I'm not gonna like public, or I guess I am publicly like
we're recording, like Millie.
I know, but I feel like a lot of like leftists are like, Trump's got him, or like, it's true, you know, like, give Trump flowers. I don't want to do all that, but damn, the one moment when Michael Cohen was getting interviewed or something, like getting deposed, and he was like testifying, Trump tweeted, if anyone's looking for a lawyer, I do not suggest Michael Cohen. And I was like, it's really funny.
I mean, I think that silly, like when it's like, it isn't directly as clearly harmful, I think that's what kind of like got him elected, why people were like, don't take it seriously, he's just kidding, like, because he did mix in those types of tweets with the like genuinely really horrifically dangerous ones, like that's why I think people were just reluctant to take it seriously.
He's an alt comedian.
Oh god.
All right.
Really not even though. Like,
No, not at all. Just the pair, just some of the terms and phrases he comes up with paired with his whole thing are just very funny. I mean, Sleepy Joe, low energy Jib.
Yeah, Sleepy Joe.
Just a delight.
But no more. No must. Call Rebecca Black. It's the last Friday.
Amen. Good riddance. So today we're going to talk about a few headlines. Then we're going to take a nice warm bath in the splinter that is formed in the Republican Party and just consider where the GOP might go from here. I don't think any of us identify as Republicans, so we're just going to have some armchair Republican.
Okay. She's like, I'm actually registered twice, once as a Republican, once as a Democrat.
James Lankford will apologize to you. We'll get to that. So we're going to talk about where the GOP will be going from here. But first, we're going to tell you where they're not going, which is Ivanka and Jared's bathroom. Ooh. Yesterday, the Washington Post reported that Ivanka and Jared Kushner do not allow their Secret Service detail in Washington, D.C. to use any of their 6.5 bathrooms in their D.C. home. Here's the background, because WAPO has a paywall. In 2017, when the Trumps got to D.C., the service first would find restrooms in local establishments. They would like go to, they would go to maybe Fox Books. They'd find places to go. They would also travel to nearby bathrooms at Barack Obama and Mike Pence's houses. Both Pence and Obama have Secret Service details for whom they provided areas of the house outfitted with bathrooms. This is pretty typical. Usually, WAPO had kind of a snarky line that basically was like, usually these important people live on such sprawling, amazing properties that they can create an outpost for them. But Jared Ivanka's like shitty house just didn't have enough room.
Jared Ivanka's house is ugly. That is, I'm sorry. It is an ugly house. I'm disappointed in their taste. When you can afford whatever the fuck you want, you can't buy something. Like, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, it's always, there was a quote one time, I mean, in reference to Hudson Yards, about it's really sad to know, like, what rich people who can buy anything, what rich people actually want is depressing. Like,
yeah,
because they have no taste. But also, I feel like it looks, you know what their house reminds me of? Father of the Bride. No?
Oh, yeah.
It's not as quaint.
If they were charming and earnest, we would probably be like, what a cute, quaint house for them. But because they're terrible.
It looks like a white box.
Yeah.
The front porch is not nice. It looks like it's a school or something.
My other favorite anecdote from the WAPO story was they just interviewed some neighbors. And one of the neighbors was like, I've never had any interaction with him except one time I just saw Jared getting his mail and just said like, oh, hi, how's it going? And Jared just said, I'm sorry, are the children being too loud?
That sounds like a ghost.
Weird thing to like say to your neighbor.
That is a weird thing to say to the neighbor. Another thing that my favorite part is that they were like the Secret Service agents would go to Obama's house to their outpost to and use the Secret Service agents like thing. And one of the they were really pretty specific. So I feel like anybody who's Secret Service agent knows who this guy is. Left this gal.
Equality.
Yeah.
Gals can leave unpleasant messes.
Yeah, left a mess so unpleasant that they all were banned from using the Obama's bathroom. And that now they had to go to somewhere else now.
I want to be clear on something. Let's be clear. It was not Obama who made that decision. It was the lead Secret Service leader. I don't even know if Obama probably did know about this. I'm sure he was like had chummy relationships. Knows. Maybe not. But maybe it wasn't Obama who was like, they can't poop here anymore. It was
How bad could it have been?
No, it probably didn't flush or like push shit, you know, pulled the Capitol and smeared shit all over
the
place. Yeah. Wait, but before we move on, I just have to say that I find it like a little bit rude of the Washington Post to put such critical information like this behind a paywall.
I agree. It's a service journalism.
Yeah.
It's terrible. What's behind paywalls and what's not, it's fucked up. And also, I'm just like 6.5 bathrooms, like, you can't have one.
Give them one.
Yeah, they have more than one bathroom per person in their family. Like, they have 3 children and 2 adults. So they have 5. Each one could have its own bathroom.
Yeah. Total.
Plus an extra. And they could still let the Secret Service use that.
They could have bathrooms for dedicated purposes, each one in the family, and they would still have enough to give the Secret Service. Give them the half. They don't need to shower. I mean, they probably do. That'd probably be nice, but.
Also, Aaron Ryan tweeted this, but I did have this thought individually. The Trumps have such weird bathroom shit. No pun intended. Like,
yeah, good point.
Like,
yeah,
Trump and his, like, the flushing and, like, the gold toilets and, like, now this that they can't.
Didn't Melania replace all the toilets in the bathroom in
yes,
the Trump,
she wouldn't
in the White
use
House?
It. She wouldn't use it until it was
replaced. So weird. Yeah. I don't like people like that.
Thank you. Well, hard line in the sand. Really offensive, Amanda.
I have a good reason. My father is a colon and rectal surgeon. So in my home, we were just always very transparent about colon health and rectal health. And just we were always like, how are your poops? Everybody wanted to know. And if anyone had reason to leave after going in a bathroom that you were having some issues, they would bring it up with you. So I think we just had like an exceedingly transparent home environment when it came to excrement of this kind. And I just really cannot get down with people that are so uptight about it.
I feel like they all want to pretend that they don't. that they don't
right. do. Yeah, they're like, they're just like, your mortals. Shit don't stink. Maybe that's why they didn't want them to use it. They were like, they can't know how bad our poop smells.
Yeah, well, what do they eat, McDonald's?
Blame it on the kids.
Yeah, blame it on the kids.
They could have just given the one bathroom. Yeah. And never gone in it.
The bathroom stuff, all of this stuff is really weird. But the fucked up part, which is huge, it's a huge, huge issue, is how much money the Secret Service waste
that's the issue
on protecting the Trump family. I listened to this podcast called Trump Inc., which is like WNYC and Politico, and they have this one episode that came out last February, and it's just talking about all the expenses the Secret Service has had to pay to protect. They've had to buy jet skis because, like, extended family of the Trump, like, always are jet skiing, so they have to buy jet skis to protect them. Eric Trump once said, like, oh, well, we always, like, because they stay at the hotels, right? They stay at the Trump properties, and then they make the Secret Service have to stay at the properties, and then they charge the Secret Service to stay, so then they're making more money. That's the fucking thing, right? And then Eric Trump once said, like, oh, but we only charge them for, like, housekeeping or something, and it's just, like, not true at all.
No.
Like, they were paying, what is it, $16,000 a month for, a little house in their Trump property and like the like golf course in New Jersey. Like they are, it is just completely wasting our tax money on frivolous shit. And like they said, like comparatively the most expensive, like expense was like Joe Biden. They had to get like an apartment next to Joe Biden or something that was like $4,000 a month. And that was like the most expensive thing before that. And like to compare it to the Trumps, which are like,
yeah. Also, they charge them full prices. Like that's another piece of that. They're not giving them like a like an at cost rate. Like
no, they say fair in the inauguration situation because we have those emails. They say like, oh, just charge them a fair market rate. Which, homegirl,
again, fair market rate can be anything when you say that your thing is luxury.
Right. I think that is why there was such a reaction to this story, because Jared and Ivanka firmly deny that they barred Secret Service from using their restrooms. As a result of them reportedly doing this, the situation obviously became untenable, and eventually the federal government began renting a basement studio from a neighbor for $3,000 a month just for Secret Service to use the bathroom. They started doing this in September 2017, so pretty early into the administration. The whole time. Taxpayers will have paid $144,000 on the facilities by the time the lease ends. So it's not super unusual for Secret Service to kind of want to leave people alone and to just sort of blend in. However, throughout the Washington Post is not going to publish something that's not true. And neighbors and law enforcement people said, no, this was very unusual, the lengths that they had to go to. And
the porter potty.
Right. There was a porter potty there that they had to get rid of because neighbors were like, this is gross and it's in the middle. And that's like, what imagine
and
doing your job.
And is expensive.
Yeah, it's like million-dollar homes, like multi-million-dollar homes, and they have a porter potty in the street.
Right.
Also,
exactly.
Like, how far is this basement studio? Like,
it wasn't super close
to go to the bathroom.
I think they had to drive because the WAPO article ended with an anecdote of just somebody driving there, going in, using the bathroom, and coming back. A spokeswoman for the Secret Service initially declined to basically tell the Washington Post anything about this, but clearly, after this story came out, the Kushners got freaked out and insisted again, had a White House official tell WAPO that Ivanka and Jared Kushner have never denied Secret Service personnel access to their home. And the Secret Service spokeswoman followed up basically saying, we don't ask to use the facilities. So those two statements are paired together, supposed to make us think, well, if they didn't ask and they didn't deny, that no harm was done.
I mean, I would hate for this to ruin Ivanka's future political career.
Dude, Ivanka's, that's the thing. It's that, like, Ivanka, and I feel like good, but like, Ivanka could have skated by if her dad wasn't her dad. She's just as evil, just as terrible, just as much of a liar, just as weird, but she's been polished enough to like get under the radar or not be whatever, you know what I mean? And like, She was also in the Trump Inc. Podcast. Like she was deposed.
Yes, Emma, you would love it.
It's so good. She's deposed right now. The latest episode is basically all the lawsuits that they have waiting for them when Trump is no longer president. And it's about the inauguration. And one, you know, a big thing was like, they charged us, like they charged the US $170,000 a day to rent Trump hotels, which that afternoon they had like a prayer breakfast for Trump or something, and they charged the people $5,000 to use the banquet hall, and they charged us. And then Ivanka, what she did was like post on Twitter like, this is a partisan attempt to make, you know, like doing
she's so
the
full
same
of shit.
Yeah, exactly. Pun intended. Doing the same shit that Trump does, but in a polished way. And like, she would have gotten away with it if her dad wasn't her dad. And if she would have controlled her dad and told him to stop or whatever, it's just like, it's like she can't deny it anymore. And like, now that's why they feel bad or freaked out or something. It's like, mm-hmm. But they don't feel bad about making people use you know?
They don't feel bad about anything.
I mean, when we had Michael Cohen's daughter on the podcast, she like made Ivanka sound, she just confirmed that she's the brat trash that she clearly is.
Well, I think that there's this sort of-
that episode.
Yeah, it's really
good.
Juicy.
She's really good, yeah. I think that there's this sort of like, Trump, because he's so like heinous and like objectively outwardly heinous, when people are compared to, when people in his orbit are compared to him, there's this sort of natural like, oh, well, they're not as bad as him. Like, you know, so there's this sort of assumption that gets foisted onto like Melania and Ivanka that like, oh, they can't be that. Like they're the mitigating forces. And I think that like, especially even in the past like year, what we've learned is that they're actually not, they're actually sort of instigators. Mm-hmm. And they're also like fully beholden to him. Like they're mm-hmm. never going to like literally actually challenge him.
They only mitigate when it's in their political favor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, they just let him go.
I can't think of Melania being invested enough in anything to mitigate.
Oh, yeah.
They're a team, though. That's the thing, is that she, like, she's the yin to his yang in some way. And, like, I know that sounds weird considering, like, we've seen all these instances of her swatting away his hand. But, like, if you think about it, not as, like, a normal romantic thing and think about it as like a partnership, like a strategic partnership, it really works for both of them. And she's not like, she thinks he's right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I think she's mad at him now, but cause it makes her look bad.
Well,
okay. Well, she'll get over it.
Yeah. She will get over it.
No, the funniest thing was like, weren't there moving trucks the day after the election? Like, other people have speculated. I mean, I think Melania is evil, blah, blah, blah. She voted for Biden. She wants out of that fucking house.
Yes, no
she
way.
She definitely wants out of it. For sure, that
she
is
wants
true.
Out.
But so then are she and Barron going to go to Florida? I guess. They're all going to go to Florida.
I mean, they'd be
Barron
fine.
Barron has switched schools so many times.
They can't live at Mar-a-Lago. You know that,
oh,
right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's
they
right.
They can't live there.
They can move into Jeffrey Epstein's.
Yeah, because Ivanka's definitely going to go there because I think I heard she's going to run for senator in Florida.
Oh, against Marco God. Rubio.
Against Marco
Is it
Rubio.
Sad that I would prefer Marco Rubio win?
I think she'd probably beat him. I don't know.
What I do think he will beat him.
For primary, but I just fucking...
No, yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know. That's going to be really interesting because of the Cuban-American vote
that's
true. South Florida. Like, I'd be really interested to see if they'd vote for Ivanka over Rubio. But I'm hoping that some, like Georgia-type movement happens in Florida. Like, if something like that happens in Florida, easily. We can,
right.
Because the most populated parts are very, you know... yeah, like I'm waiting for like a little like socialist movement to happen the way that it's happened in New York City, like where there's like pockets of, you know, state senators and all that stuff. I'm waiting for that to happen in South Florida.
I think it should be able to happen in Florida as a state because they have enough like urban centers where it's like densely populated.
Exactly.
I think the issue with like, I was reading about like North Carolina compared to Georgia. And one of the reasons why North Carolina is harder to flip in the way that Georgia did is because it's much more rural in general.
Exactly.
So it's like, I mean, maybe Florida is like I don't know, its own thing.
But Florida, like, people need to do organize. That, what I mean
it's
is, like,
so big,
organizing but, off season, like, start right, now yeah. for 2022, right. like, and continue going and continue moving, you know. I think it totally can be done because there's so many densely populated areas, and especially with Orlando and all the, like, Hurricane Irma,
yeah.
like, immigration from Puerto Rico now, like, it's just
the point.
So densely popular, and it's spreading out. So I'm really, you know. But anyway, that's more down the GOP tangent. Thing because I have some thoughts on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. We're actually going to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about Joe Biden's stimulus proposal, and then we're going to talk more about the future of the GOP.
Hey, American Fever Dream listeners, I'm here to tell you that there is no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift, because now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy is here to take the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone for any occasion. And it's easy. You just tap or click Gift Mode in your Etsy app or Etsy.com, and then answer a few questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you a curated gift idea list based on hundreds of personas. Now it is simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a Mother's Day gift for the quilter or a birthday present for the vintage hunter, there is something for everyone on Etsy. Some of my favorite things to do are go to Etsy Gift Mode and then search absurd things like, what kind of gifts do you have with Walter Cronkite on them? What kind of gifts do you have for dachshund owners? There's jewelry, ceramic, toys, board games, all kinds of fun stuff. A gifting moment is always right around the corner. Whether it's a birthday, an anniversary, a holiday, or even just a day to say thank you, Gift Mode on Etsy has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Today's episode of American Fever Dream is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. It's Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription rental service, and for just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You get fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. This is the best. You just put it back in your box, send it out, and before you know it, you've got your next one. And you always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. I bought the Rachel Antonoff pasta puffer from them. I was obsessed with it, like everybody who tries it is, and it was completely sold out everywhere else. So I felt like I really, really had an in there. So thank you, Nuuly. Nuuly is an amazing value at $98 a month for any six styles. And right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code FEVERDREAM20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code FEVERDREAM20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's with code FEVERDREAM20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes.
Joe Biden has unveiled a $1.9 trillion proposal to boost the U.S. economy nearly 1 year into the pandemic. I am going to list off some things that this includes. I think you talked about this in morning announcements too, Sammy, and it's in much more detail in the newsletter. Yeah. You got so many places you can find this info from us. But the plan includes $1,400 stimulus checks, enhanced unemployment aid, an eviction moratorium. Basically, general impressions are that it's the big sweeping style package progressives have largely been looking for. Biden feels that he has a mandate coming out of the general election and the Senate victory. So he's going for it. Like, there's a lot attached to this that progressives have wanted, including a $15 minimum wage. And it would also abolish the lower minimum wage for people earning tips and the absolutely atrocious thing that is allowed that you can pay people with disabilities sub-minimum wage. It also includes 14 weeks of paid sick leave, family, medical leave. It's got a bunch of progressive wish list stuff on there because he's thinking, this is the time. We got the Senate. We have the motivation. We have the mandate. Let's do it. Were we surprised to see how big this was?
No. As I was reading it, I was like, okay. Like, as I'm reading like each bullet point, I'm like, ooh, yes, $14. No. like a minimum wage. Like, I'm just getting like so excited as I was reading it. I think this is like, I mean, obviously like, let's take more if we can, because like I feel like the minimum wage should really be like $20.
Yeah.
But great. I think this is like a good start.
I agree. I feel like this is a good start. I feel like the criticism that that they've been getting is that, like, they said $2,000 checks, and now it's like $1,400 checks, and they're like, well, actually, it's $2,000 with the $600 and all that stuff, and that kind of math. So I feel like that's right now where progressives are divided, and that's, it's just a little disappointing because in one hand, it's like, yes, it's the sweeping trillions, like, that we needed, where, like, fucking they, you know, if it was up to Republicans, it would be half a million or whatever, like nothing.
A $500,000 stimulus.
Yeah. And it would be a huge PPP loan to Devin Nunes.
Yeah.
Which he did get one, but that's a whole other thing. Yeah. His fucking wine company. Anyway.
What about his cows?
How and his they? Cows, Jesus. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, but like, God, like, why not just do 2,000? Like, that's what's for. And then it's like all these leftists online, which I know people, please don't engage with them. But it's just at the same time, it's like, yep, this is what happens when you go Democrat. They say one thing and they're not keeping their promises. And they said $2,000 checks and look at what happened. And right now that's where we're divided. Like, that's the division or the criticism. And yeah, like, when you see all these other things, I'm kind of like torn because, like, yeah, it's like there are some really great things on this list and like things that we've been fighting about. But then on the other thing, it's like, damn, but like, why not just give $2,000? Like, I don't know.
Do you think it's sort of like, it reminds me of when in the primaries when Bernie would never answer how he was going to pay for Medicare for all because he was just like, it's going to be cheaper for you. Like, overall, your life will be better. And I feel like that's just still a hard sell. Like, there's a lot in this that could really change a lot of people's lives over a year or two, just watching all of these things go into effect. Cause these are not just like going to address the pandemic. They're going to address the economic insecurity and issues we had before. It's hard to explain that when people, including Republicans, are saying $2,000, where's our $2,000?
Well, I think, okay, here's my thoughts on that. Obviously everyone could use $2,000. Like, it wouldn't be too much. My feeling is that, one, he probably wanted to keep the overall top line number under 2 trillion is my guess. And that probably would have pushed it over. The second thing is, I can see from his perspective, or like just generally his future administration's perspective, like when the $600 checks came out, AOC was putting up an amendment to add $1,400. So I feel like they probably took that as like, this is the progressive plan, I guess.
That's true. Together it is 2,000.
But obviously, like, sure, everyone should have more. Like, people need more. It's not like you could give people $10,000 and for so many people it wouldn't be close to enough to dig them out of the holes that they're in. Like, the rent and eviction moratoriums, like, they're still gonna have to pay that rent. And many of these people haven't found jobs. So, like, where are they getting that rent money? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I do, I mean, the Republicans that keep saying it's not targeted enough. I mean, when people were getting support at the beginning of the pandemic, like, I'm fine if some people want to pay their student loan off with their check. Like, that still has the same impact on the future we're trying to build here, which is getting people out of debt.
Cancel student loans.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
do you think Biden's going to do that? Spend it on whatever the fuck you want.
I fucking hope so, but it's hard to say because, like, because they're talking about if he has the ability to, and I think he has the ability to for sure. I don't know if it's like this sweeping, I don't know if he's going to cancel all of them, but it's just such a huge problem. I mean, I don't know if, like, y'all know this, I published this yesterday or something, but like, I have this like terror. I signed like one of the most predatory student loans where I paid off, I took out $20,000. I paid off $33,000 and I still owe $17,000.
No. How does that even, where's the math?
Exactly. No. And it's basically because
we'll put that the in interest the description.
Rate, yeah, yeah. The interest rate is, I have, you know, and like this financial advising company that's like been helping me because of the pandemic, like, I didn't even know this. I was just like, I'm paying and paying, but I don't know where any of this money's going. And we dug deep into the thing and we saw that like the interest rate can be changed every day, or like the interest rate is a variable. Yep. So, and it occur, you know, it's just crazy shit that it's like, this shouldn't be legal at all. Like, right. So it's not even like canceling, but we really need to like, and if we did cancel, like the canceled student debt or something, that's just for public student loans. And that student loan that I had is a private one from Wells Fargo, which is the worst fucking company.
How old were you when you signed this? 18? Oh,
18, 19. And my sister co-signed it. So it's like, she didn't know. My family doesn't know anything about, you know, it's a whole other problem of like, you know, which predatory. It's predatory. 100%. And like, it's also like this thing with, it's our generation where it's like, go to college, go to college, go to college, go to college. It'll solve all your problems. It'll do. No one talks about like staying in college, making sure you don't drop out, how to pay for after, getting jobs after. Like, there's just all this huge gap in stuff. It's just go to college. And now we have like a bunch of college educated people. And like, we don't even have, you know, it's just like a huge problem. But it's these things where it's like canceling student debt will help. You know, but it's like, we need to make those kind of loans illegal.
Yeah, that is really the issue, that it's like, they gave you $20,000 and you are giving them $50,000.
Yeah.
You're an 18-year-old when you made that decision.
Yeah.
You're obviously like, and it's not even like the decision was transparent. And
no.
Yeah, canceling is like, obviously canceling student loans would not only help individual people, but it would be a massive economic stimulus. But like, that should not be legal. And that's why Elizabeth Warren should become majority leader or something of that ilk.
And there are so many people that have debt like that or close to it and didn't end up finishing their degree.
Yeah.
And so can't get the benefits, even though there are waiting benefits and people have been misled about the benefits of a 4-year degree. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, especially at for-profit universities, just had no way to finish and have this debt without the benefit of the degree. Something has to change. I think that Sam and I were talking about like the amount of stress that so much of the country is living with every day, just privately, over thinking about the things you were just talking about, is like, it's not productive for the economy. It is not. Your local community needs that money more than the student loan collector
more
does.
Than Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
Wells Fargo broke their trust in 2008 with everything they did around the crisis.
Oh, this was in 2008 that I signed it. That's the crazy thing.
Oh, God.
2008, 2009.
Yeah.
And it was the student loan that my school told me to get. Like, it wasn't one that, yeah, it's so fucked up. But yeah, exactly. Like, this is like, what, like an extra $300-$500 a month that I'm turning in student loans? Like,
that's nuts. Yep.
You could be giving that to a restaurant.
I could be giving that to a restaurant. I could be getting a nicer apartment. I could be, you know what I mean?
They're so mad we're not buying houses. Well, this is why.
I want a house so badly. I'll buy a house if there I could.
Yeah,
if I
get exactly.
A house, I'll have a house.
No, we literally just like Mike and I just re-signed a really long lease for a good deal in a different apartment. So like, we can't afford a house or to have kids anytime soon. So let's just keep enjoying our childless life with a terrace.
But what's also crazy is that like, you have like a job, like you have like
right. Exactly.
It's just the fact that like people who are doing quote unquote well, like still can't even like afford that life that like we were told we would.
And then you always like, you start to think it's you. I know a lot of it's like, oh my God, what is wrong with me? And then you realize like, no, you look at your expenses. Okay. It's like, no, it's because it's $500 a month I have to give to this thing.
I don't know a single person who owns a house who did not get money from their parents.
Yeah.
Not one. True. Not well,
exactly.
One.
Exactly.
That does not, that says something. If like, people can work and, you know, you could be a lawyer, you could, you know, you work in a consult, like people who have very good, high paying jobs, they're not buying a house without their parents. Mm. It's just not happening.
That's true. It's 100% true. And I totally like the whole reason why I got like financial counseling and like in therapy and stuff is like, there's this whole narrative of like, I mean, it's what thrives capitalism. It's like, oh, if you're not thriving, there's something inherently wrong with you. And I'm just like, yes. I'm paying my bills.
Myth.
I'm doing everything that I think I'm supposed to be doing. Am I a bad person? Am I not bad at money? It's like, no, it's just fucked up. And we can't even talk about, you know, we don't even talk about like how fucked up all of this is.
Yeah, I mean, people who are good at money are people who started with enough money to be safe enough to be good at it. And also, it is so much more expensive to be poor.
Exactly.
It is so much more it is some people literally cannot afford to go get a job because they can't travel there. They don't have the clothing. They don't like have
computer, internet.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm dealing with like a minor tax issue that I will get figured out, but the penalty that they're trying to levy because they think that I owed them taxes and I paid them late. If I had to pay, I could never pay that. Like if I was a person who genuinely had an issue one year where I didn't do my taxes correctly and 5 years later they came for me asking for all this money, I would be annihilated.
It's expensive to do your taxes correctly.
It's expensive to do your taxes correctly.
Yeah.
And they can just charge us what they think we fucking, it's so, even that shit is so stupid.
Grift. It's a grift.
This country is not what they promise.
Come on, Joe.
No.
Joe needs to fix all of this.
Yeah. It's all on you, Joe.
Jeez.
And we'll help him. We have, he has help.
Yeah. We'll help him. We'll give him a hand. I mean, this does go sort of into our next topic, which is just that both parties have an opportunity at this sort of historically fucked up time to chart a new path and communicate to voters who they are and what they represent. So this week's historic impeachment trial saw 10 House Republicans break party ranks to vote to impeach Donald Trump. This is a pretty dramatic singular event, but it's emblematic of, I think, a deeper fissure of the Republican Party that's emerged from the Trump era, during which the GOP has lost the White House in both chambers of Congress. They've now been blacklisted by some corporate donors. They lag way behind Democrats in fundraising overall, and that's when they were out of power. Traditionally, the party in power can raise money even easier. Sheldon Adelson died, which is like a huge source of their money. Leadership and messaging has become splintered across networks and social platforms. They're not in a good place. It's not great.
They don't even have like full access to social media platforms because they can't keep their message fucking truthful and non-totally incendiary.
And that's now. I feel like it'll get worse. Like, I hope that Democrats really start regulating social media like we should, like it should have been. And then that shit will even get even worse.
Did you see that Parler is actually turning people in?
Oh my God, I didn't.
They are.
Wow, yeah, that's Parler great.
Parler is handing over. I mean, ultimately, like, Parler's owned by a man who wants money. Like, what does he really care?
Yeah, no, right. And it's an odd, well, there's been a bunch of stuff that I've seen with Parler in that, like, one, it's like, right, it's off all the app stores, so the guy's going to do what he can to, like, put it back in the app store, so he's snitching. But another thing is, like, the way that they made it was so, like, rudimentary, like, coding, that there are all these, like, activist hackers that, like, went in and got every, like,
oh yeah,
stole everyone's information. They scraped up everything.
Private messages. Really,
yeah, everything. And then they just sent it to the FBI. It's crazy.
It's like, you're so dumb, you're going to write your coup down.
You're going to write your coup down in an app that doesn't even have a privacy agreement. Which, you know, all of that is bullshit anyway. You know, which, I mean, right now, which somebody just posted the other day, it's like, I just found out my period tracker app is selling my information to Google and Facebook.
No.
That's dark.
That is dark.
That came out last year too. Yeah, I guess. That's but I how thought they know stopped. When to like,
that's how they know when to like send you diaper ads, like when you get pregnant. But it's also really sad. Like,
that's manipulation.
Because people like miscarry, or if they like lose a child, they're getting all these things.
That's the kind of stuff that needs to be regulated, and that hasn't been regulated at all. And you know, it's just going to get worse. I'm just saying that it's going to be worse for the GOP when things start getting regulated online. Great. And good, because fuck
yeah. All for it.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
So we're at a point where some congressional Republicans seem poised to try to lead the party away from the Trump platform of the past few years. That is being generous and suggesting that they're not just inextricable at this point, which I think they are. Senator Lisa Murkowski said she approved of the House's decision to impeach and suggested she might convict in a trial. Liz Cheney is the number three Republican in the House, and she voted to impeach. She's facing calls to step down as chairwoman of the House Republican Conference and is being pretty defiant about it. She's saying, I'm not going anywhere, which feels like a move, like she's trying to make some noise for her political future. Mm-hmm. Other congressional Republicans are on something of an apology tour. This guy, Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma, He was one of the lawmakers who rose to object election certification results. And the fact that senators agreed to participate in this, I think, did help bring it to another level. This week, yesterday, in fact, he wrote a letter apologizing to his Black constituents for opposing the Electoral College results. He said he didn't realize that he just wanted to ask questions that people in the country had, but he had no idea. He said he did not realize that this would cast doubt on the validity of votes coming out of predominantly Black communities until he saw that white supremacists were the ones who are upset with the voting outcome.
How does he miss the fact that his entire party's platform is based on the disenfranchisement of Black voters? And like, why is this suddenly news to him? And I wonder why he even went so far as to make that like specific of a statement, to be honest.
He only apologized to his own Black constituents.
What about all the others?
Not Black Americans.
What about like everybody?
Right.
No,
right,
they don't
right.
matter.
How about you rejected the outcome of our election?
How about
apologize to all of us?
What about apologizing to your like colleagues who almost died?
No, he should apologize to himself. He almost died.
He should resign.
That's the thing that like gets me. It's like these people almost died. And like the more I hear about it, the scarier it is. Yeah. And these people after still did the same thing. It's like, what the hell do you guys want like an actual senator? Like what's going to, it's nothing's going to click. And even if somebody, thank God, no senators died, even though five people did die. I'm not convinced that even if a senator died, they wouldn't like be like backtrack, you know, like wouldn't be doing this. And it's kind of sad. It's really interesting. I think we talk about this a little bit. You know, the GOP, like Republican voters are getting more diverse. Like, and those are the ones that will ignore all the whites or are white supremacists themselves, despite being people of color. Mm-hmm. And there's enough of them. But if the GOP really cut all the racist shit out, at least a facade, and like really just like we want to cut taxes, individual, but they would just be so successful.
Yeah.
In the long term, right? Not in the short term, maybe, but in the long term, they would be, it would actually be scary because.
But maybe they would be like less harmful, genuinely.
They would be less harmful.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
If they become pro-choice.
I don't know because I mean, personally, I feel like, you know, people say fiscal conservative, socially liberal.
That's like not
I feel
a thing
like
anymore.
It's not, well, that's not a thing anymore, but I feel like, you know, you can't do real social, anti-racist, whatever change without financial policies in capitalism. That's what I think. So, but if the GOP had this facade, right, they right. could be more successful and that could be the future of their party, but they refuse to let go of the white supremacist shit and like selling a lie that's just like, no matter which way you slice it, unless you have like a mass genocide, which I don't even think that's like, it's just not gonna happen. I mean, we did. Yeah, that's true. We're in one, but still like this country's not gonna get any whiter.
White people are going to be the minority by 2045. I just saw a study. I think it was from the Brookings Institute yesterday. So like that is on its way. It's, you know, it is so, your point is so right that if they did that, they would succeed. But I actually think that like they can't help that the basis, that would be denying the basis and the genesis and the entire roots of their party. Like, you can trace the history of their party back to Jim Crow, slavery, the South. Like the reason that they can't just do what you said is because their core belief, I think, is white supremacy and everything else is sort of like constructed around it. Even if they don't necessarily, even if they're not necessarily conscious of that, I think it's like just this inherent, it's like baseline for them.
Well, exactly what Millie just said. It's like an economic academic conclusion that's like, no, fiscal policies are important to achieving social equality.
Right.
And you can't ignore that. So if you ignore that, you're fundamentally just opting into white supremacy. But yeah, Millie, you've talked about that on the podcast all the time about how like if Republicans would just disavow this, they would have plenty of supporters ready to sign on. Maybe it wouldn't. It sounds like it could hurt them in like the short term.
Yeah.
And I think all politics is short term. But yeah, I don't know what a long term Republican Party looks like. They have to, it's kind of like calling their bluff and making them show their cards. Like you can either keep these whites, your white supremacist base, or let them go and take this opportunity to bring more people into your party based on whatever you can convince them your values are.
If Ted Cruz, this is like, if Ted Cruz was like, white supremacy is wrong, Joe Biden won, but I'm still pro-choice. I want people to come in the right way, and I'm going to make coming the right way, I'm talking about immigration. Mm-hmm. I want coming in the right way to be easier, like have a more forgiving immigration policy. You telling me that like Mexican Americans in Texas, like not every single one will vote for a pro-choice, like mm-hmm. easier immigration candidate, like, but they won't let go of the polarizing shit. You know what I mean? That's the thing exactly. that just gets me. And I'm, you know, and like, so I think about the future of the GOP a lot. I'm like, and then I just think about the future of the Democrats, and I'm really interested to see how that ends up, because, you know, the younger are more radical. I feel like, you know, like socialism is not mm-hmm. a bad word for any of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not for us,
but I think it's obviously still a bad word for people who lean Republican.
Yeah. Exactly. So
were you looking around? Sammy just looked around. I was like, she's looking around for Republicans.
No, I was looking at my sandwich that Avi just
bought. Oh, okay.
I'm like, her dog's Republican.
Yeah. No, I'm like, oh, that smells good.
Yeah, Bruce is a fiscal conservative.
Bruce Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah. I mean, so that's a good question. How do Democrats take advantage of this moment politically? Because I've even heard chatter of, you know, Democrats, we have no control over what the Republican Party decides to do, but say they decide not to disqualify Trump from running, does he then just work on splintering them even further for the next 4 years, and then we just cross our fingers that he doesn't win? What do you think?
Maybe I'm just being an asshole, but I'm like, is he going to live to 2024?
Oh my gosh. I have fully had that thought, and I feel like what my mom says is that shitheads like him never die. So
I guess I'm like, damn, dog, like everyone's really talking like he's going to live another 4 years. And I don't know. I'm not convinced, but.
I know the only thing that's probably kept him alive the past four is constant medical supervision.
Regeneron.
For real.
He's still on Regeneron.
Yeah,
I'm constantly. Like, he would have died from COVID if he.
Yeah.
If he didn't get like that expensive ass cocktail. But yeah, I think that I'm really concerned because of the, you know, obviously socialism is a bad word for the middle, like, and older Democrats and stuff like that. But then we have this young coalition of people who are, you know, like the AOCs and the squad. And I feel like the squad's going to grow. And then, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I hope that we're able to use social media and mobilize the way that Republicans have, and we're able to embrace the far left as much as Republicans have embraced the far right and become not apologetic about it. I don't know.
Well, I think there needs to be almost like a PR campaign for socialism. Like, you're all experiencing socialism all the time. Like,
exactly.
You have a road, you have the post office, yes. Like all of that is technically socialism. It's mm-hmm. socialized, governmentally run things, mm-hmm. infrastructure that allows this country to run. The idea that like that socialism, they picture like the Soviet Union, and there's like one brand of like peas on the grocery store. Like, that's right. Not gonna happen. Does it look like that's even coming anytime soon? It's just sort of like people are just so ignorant about what the socialism means, and mm-hmm. like. And the and how these other countries that they glorify, like, we should be more like Sweden. Well, Sweden is
social. Exactly.
So it's like, I think it really comes, it's a semantics issue.
There are also people that are very quick to point out that when you want to compare us to certain like Northern European countries, like they aren't even necessarily strictly socialist. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to find that pure, like the stuff that people are advocating for.
I don't think anyone's advocating for like pure socialism. Like, I think it's more.
I think some
of, like,
people are, but they're the people on Twitter with the roses next to their handle. They're not the people in charge of mainstream discourse.
I'm talking about like vastly increasing the social safety net, which you could say is socialist, but like, is it socialism? Like,
it's literally the radical concept that being alive should not be this hard. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting because the trend pre-coronavirus was that more and more people were moving into cities and people were not moving rural. And I feel like in rural areas, like they don't, they're, it's all very insular and they like don't really depend on anybody outside. Like they don't need the social nets. They have their communities, but obviously in bigger cities, you do need the social nets. Like that's crucial to living. So, but I'm like post corona, like a lot of people like have dispersed and left cities. So I'm wondering like what that effect is going to be like long term on that. But
it's an interesting point.
And I think that especially if you're going to move out of the city during corona, just like be a freaking community member. Don't just move and then buy a nice house and just contribute nothing.
Well, yeah. And I feel like the PR campaign for socialism, like, right now it's kind of like the thing is like, oh, let's, it's all about scamming people out of not paying taxes, or like Elon Musk, like I'm going to move to Texas to not pay taxes, where we really need to be like taxes. This is what pays taxes. This is what you're paying for. This is like,
get
people excited of like, it's your civic duty to pay taxes.
And that and is,
That's what we need a PR thing of like, and we can do even more if we text more rich people.
It'll be a lot easier to do that when we're not saying, oh, also the Kushner family is spending $144,000 of your money on a bathroom.
Right. It's also like, I feel like getting into a bit more of a collectivist mindset, like we are connected to each other. Like it's not actually helpful to have this level of inequality for anybody. Like it, I mean, other than the five people that it benefits.
Literally.
So it's just like, yeah, I mean, I think that that is like kind of the issue, is kind of a big problem, is that like people don't see other people as their problem. Like they're just like, fuck you. Like it, I don't really get that, but like, I do think that is a pervasive mindset.
Lots of stuff to talk about. We'll be talking about this a lot. That's our show for today. I wanted to give you guys a nice long show for a long holiday weekend.
Yes, this is what happens when Millie and Sammy and Amanda get together. We talk Friday.
This could be fun.
Good time. This is everything on my to-do list, so.
The only thing left on my to-do list is I'm recording with Shay Mitchell for DST.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What a pivot. Talk to her about socialism.
I love Shay Mitchell. Do you remember the I Love You So Much, ILYSM, you know, abbreviation. Yes. And she's like, oh, does this mean I love Shay Mitchell?
I don't remember that, but that is really funny.
That is so funny.
I'll be sure to bring it up.
Be looking forward to that. Until the return of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast.
The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Sean Kilby. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Artwork by Brittany Levine. Our podcast director is Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.